We still have 21.
We still have 21?
Yes. I just went to the.
What did you part of us? So you left from the general city of just to read that for a moment. So the Mishnah tells us explicitly, both in terms of the second hit as well as in terms of the second Shabbos, that a person writes with an ink that's not going to last, but it's a very, very vague, very long. So that is not considered to be a ksiva in the Torah. What would not be chayav in Shabbos? Is that not acceptable in the Torah? How do you define the Shabbos Yama? That is a loaded question in terms of quantifying the Shabbos Yama. Whether the Shabbos Yama is a din that's unique to Ksiva, whether it spills over to other malachas, that was also something that we spoke about the Arichos. But now there is an extension of this principle of Ksiva Shabbos Yama that some Shabbos have, which is somewhat startling, if any question. And it's going to open up for us a whole other dimension of the Sugya. That's in the 19th of the Maimon Kamos. So the Shulchan Aruch in the 19th of the Maimon Kamos quotes as follows: Lo yitmenu lo ad shetisyavish haksiva chasim yofra. That a person should not give the get to his wife until the writings and the signatures have dried up. In the olden days, the ink well, the ink on the paper, you have to wait a little while until it dries. Yeah, so you have to wait until it dries up properly. This is an aside. The only time this probably interests us in Hukkah Sefer Torah. When you have a Hachnasa Sefer Torah, so you write those last couple of little lines, and so believe it or not, you have to be very, very careful that it's dried. And sometimes if you go to Hachnasa Sefer Torah, you see they have like the blow dryers or something, the fans to dry it. We once had the following story that we took out a Sefer Torah. It was a brand new Sefer Torah to Lane. That's a Superstore. We had had the Hachnasa Sefer Torah shortly before that. And I think the first time we took it out to Lane was Simchas Torah night. We take it out, the Lane is also bracha, and the last three lines were all smudged. The sofer had not done the due diligence to wait literally the whole, since there was possible the way it was, that we read, they had to fix it, they had to erase it, they had to not forget to fix the last two, three lines of the Simchas Torah. So next time we had a Simchas Torah and to drain around and say, you know, wait till we start the dancing, that's the reason why. It's trying to make sure that it gets, make sure that it doesn't smudge. But the din is Hilchos Gittin, and you have to be careful to make sure that the writing and the signatures are all dry. Why is that? Because otherwise, if the ink is wet, then it may fall into the category of what's called a ksav shiyachal hisdayef. It's an easily forged kind of a writing, and an easily forged kind of writing is a potential problem in Hilchos Gittin. So the Chelkos B'chokeg, the next part of that Maramah, Chelkos B'chokeg is one of the two standard classic commentaries on Eben HaEzer. So the Chelkos B'chokeg says he doesn't understand why that's a problem. Yesh the doctor. Ha'el mevor, the mutalich tabadav shiach l'zdayev, kishenos l'gayb m'sir, the halach is that you're allowed to give a get on something that could potentially be forged as long as the Edom are there, as long as the Edom are there at the time of the get, they can tell you that nothing was forged. They can identify exactly what it says in the get. So it's not really a problem. So what was this concern about giving the get when the letters are still a little bit wet? So says the Chavos B'chokeg, he thinks that the Shulchan Aruch didn't quote the correct reason for this practice. For Isim Mordechai Kosov Aloshen HaMishnah, he said, I found in the Mordechai, when the Gedolei Rishonim, I found in the Mordechai who has the following, called Davishu Shechayam V'chulein, Kanyesh Lizar, says the Mordechai, which is the ultimate source of this practice. One should be careful. Shelo liten get le'ishak shulach, shere eno shal kayoma ad kamashelo. Mordechai did not say that it's easily forged. Mordechai said that it's not permanent. Why is it not permanent? Kloma, ki ilu kosa b'mashkin, shere oto lach, Bekal yochel lahasir adyo v'lo yiri shumo nikar. So says the Mordechai, when you have an ink that's already dried, so that ink's going to last. How long is it going to last? It's going to last for a year, for 6 years, for 20 years, 9 years. It's going to last. It's going to meet the standard of what's necessary to be called a ksav shel kayama. But when you have a wet ink, It's so easy to remove. The dry leaf, you got to start putting out a razor blade, the scissors, start scratching away. So that's called the ksav shofeya. But an ink that's so easily removed, just take a tissue and just wipe it off. So that's considered to be a ksav she'ena shokayama. Now, then that's a huge chiddush, because we usually think that ena shokayama means they're going to disappear by itself, like the gravy, like the fruit juices, things that are not going to last at all. Whereas here, the wet ink, it's not going to disappear on its own. If you don't touch it, it's actually going to dry and last for 50 years. So somehow the Mordechai understood it's something that's very, very easily removable, also smacks of a problem, of a deficiency of Enosho Kayama. So says the Chavos B'Chokin about this new reading of the Mordechai, the Ev Shalom the Enorak Zehiros. So says the Chavos B'Chokin, I don't believe that it's really possible. I think this is just really a Chumra B'Alma. The Enorak that I get, it'll get, come up in Mashke. This is not the equivalent of writing with fruit juice. So says the Chavos B'Chokin, if this Mordechai was true, the Mishnah should have said it. When the Mishnah is talking about cases of Enosho Kayama, why does it say, if you're writing fruit juice, you're writing gravy, you're writing those things, it should have said, if you write it and leave the ink wet, which is much more common shot than writing a get in fruit juice, why didn't the Mishnah say that? So the answer is, that's not really called Enosho Kayama. And the reason most probably is, because it's not going anywhere by itself. So this is a big, big, big extension, a very, very big chiddush to disqualify a get based on the fact that the ink is now wet, that because it's wet, therefore it's easily removable. That's also included in Enosho Kayama, a big, big stretch. Right, if it's smudge, it's for sure it's going to be no good. Right, that's for sure. Right. So again, but we don't need the Mordechai to tell us that. If it's a smudge, you can't read it. That's for sure possible. So this is a big question. So notwithstanding what the Chavos B'Chokin says, there are some who want to argue that it is possible that in Hachi Nami, that why doesn't the Mishnah say it? I don't know why. Mishnah said a lot of things. So it's a hard to read a Raya Buruf, the fact that the Mishnah didn't say it. Mishnah gave two examples and we move on. So is this true? Is such a possibility exist that you take a get? Every letter is there. Every word is there. It's totally legible, but it's not dry. That's called Enosho Kayama. That would be a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. So comes the Minchas Chinuch, Enoch Shabbos. We always like keep on going back and forth. They were vacillating between Shabbos and Gittin. Comes the Minchas Chinuch in its other Minchas. Comes the Minchas Chinuch in Enoch Shabbos, in the midst of that Malach and Shabbos. And it's the following fascinating ha'ara. If this Mordechai is correct, that when I write something calls about as long as it's wet ink, it's not really called ksiva yet. So let's play this out on Shabbos. A person writes something at 9 o'clock in the morning, Shabbos morning, writes his name. So right now at 9 o'clock in the morning, is he chayev yet? Not really, because it's not really ksiva. When does he become chayev? At 9:10. It's 10 minutes, but they're dry. So at 9:10, now the ink is dry. Now the ink is halachically called permanent. So at 9:10 in the morning, he's chayev. Okay, I can understand that. What if Shabbos ends at 6 o'clock and he writes something at 5:58? He writes his name at 5:58. When does the ink dry? At 6:04. 6:04, ready after though. So at 6:04, the malacha is taking place after Shabbos is over. Is he chayav or is he potter? So says Michas Chinuch, if you reject this, Mordechai, and you say that wet ink is called writing, it's called shokayama, it's not going anywhere by itself, that's not called Eino Shokayama, then you chayav at 5:58 for writing on Shabbos. But once you accept this Mordechai, that really mean a Torah, that's not called writing until it dries, because as long as it's still wet, it falls in between the cracks in the category of Eino Shokayama. If that's the case, I'll tell that tremendous chish. But if you write something late in the afternoon, it doesn't dry until after Shabbos is over, then the game is over. Then you, in fact, would not be chayav in Shabbos. Is that true? So the Chas Chinuch makes that point. But the emphasis is that really by doing so, he's referencing a more general question about Hilchos Shabbos. Forget about Kosei, forget about this wild application of the Mordechai. What's the general rule? A person does an action right before Shabbos is over, and the malacha doesn't result until a later point. Now, most malachas... So most malachas, we can't even talk about that. There's no case. That's if you like carry on Shabbos. I walk in the street on Shabbos. So if I carry 5:58 in 28 seconds, that's what I'm chayav, 5:58, 28 seconds. if I yes, I guess both of them. The whole malacha is finished before Shabbos is over. So most malachas is really not meant to say kotzer. The guy goes off to his apple tree, plucks off an apple. So that one split second that he did the malacha, if it's Shabbos, Yechayim, it's not supposed to say Shabbos in the potter. So 99% of the time when you do malachas in Shabbos, there is a split second of truth. And you have to just ask yourself, check the calendar and see, my smile, yes, Shabbos and the Shabbos. But every once in a while, you have malachas that have almost like a time delay to them, a bit of a delay mechanism built into the very malacha. So there are two malachas that actually come to mind that have that kind of a delay. So one of those malachas is the malach of Zoreya. So Zoreya is a very, very strange malach of planting a seed. If I take a seed and I throw it into the ground, nothing happened. There's a seed sitting in a hole in the ground. Absolutely nothing happened. It's not really called Zoreya until it begins to take root. And we know this from other areas of halacha, was kilayim, perhaps shmita, other areas of halacha that close by that something is nothing happened yet. So then the act of zareya didn't really occur. A little bit of a problem because there is a time delay built into the world of nature. Hashem created the world and such that you plant, and then it takes a while until something takes root. It can take a couple of days, take a couple of weeks until something actually takes root. So we have to stop and ask ourselves, wait a second. I can plant on Shabbos. What's the problem? I'll throw a seed into the ground on Shabbos. No big deal. I didn't do malacha. It doesn't take root till next Thursday, 5 days later. Why am I chayav on Shabbos? So it's almost like a question against the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. One of the Lamites malachas is a rei. That we know. Chorin is a rei. Zorei is one of the official malachas of the Torah. There's no question about it. The planting is an outright absolute sederaisa. But conceptually, why is that so? If after all, the actual malach is not really occurring until after Shabbos. So there's a major machlekes acharon of what the answer to that question is. Nobody says, oh gee, by golly, you're right, you're not chayav as a rei. That's ridiculous. The rei is one of the lamed test malachas. But conceptually, what is the answer to that question? Why does that question somehow not bother us? So there are one of two answers. So there are some who say that you see from here, you sow in Ucha Shabbos that permeates all malachas, not just Zareya, that the mechayev for malacha is the maisa that you do, the action that you do. Any and every time there's some kind of delay in the world of nature that doesn't result until X amount of time later, that's not my issue. Losasa kol malacha. The halacha of Shabbos is nikva, it is determined. Everything is based on what your maisa gavra is. It's irrelevant when the result happens. That's one way of understanding the dilemma about Zoreya. The other way of understanding the dilemma about Zoreya is to say, you're right, you really shouldn't be chayav. There's no reason to be chayav for Zoreya because the halacha is not really occurring until afterwards. But we have three words called pahochi, chive, rachamana. But the Torah says, it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. We know for a fact that Zoreya is on the list. That Rav came, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Tess, Malacha, Mishkan, Zoreya was in the Mishkan. Zoreya is chayav. You can't argue that. You can't deny that fact. How does the word, you have a fancy, schmancy lamedus that Zoreya should be potter because it's happening, the result is happening afterwards. It's cute. Your lamedus is nice. It doesn't matter. Kachish Kator, you're chayav anyway. If you take that second approach of Kachish Kator, then that's going to be very, very localized, very unique to Zoreya. And you cannot extrapolate to any other malacha. So how do we view Zoreya? Do we view Zoreya as the rule or as the exception to the rule? Do we view Zoreya as teaching us that the only thing that matters in the Shabbos is the maisa or the mosasik of malacha ksiv, and end results that happen after Shabbos are not relevant? Or do I say no? That Zoreya is the attack of the exception to the rule, but in order to be chayav in Shabbos, the entire malacha, lock, stack, and barrel, action plus result must occur in Shabbos.
What happens if nothing grows?
Oh, very good. Excellent question. So that may be enough to be Ladina. If you somehow read it right, let's say you go down the second route. That the Torah says that Yechayim, nothing happened, does not. The Torah says Yechayim, finished. So now you have to raise the question. If Lamai said the result, the Malacha never concluded. It could be you actually read Yechayim. It's possible. Somehow read it right. Let's say I throw a seed into the ground on Shabbos and somebody else takes it out. 5 minutes later. But I take it out 5 minutes later. So it never grows. It's never going to be able to grow. Samach Rema, you still chayav. You did it. You did Zoreya. Finished. That's it. It doesn't matter what happens later. So that's the loaded question. So the test case to this Shaila is Bishul. Because Bishul is always like that. I put something around the fire. I put a piece of chicken into a pot of water, put it onto the fire. Bishul doesn't happen right away. It takes a little bit of time. So it doesn't take an hour until it gets cooked. So what's the deal? So do I say that I'm chaya for the maisa and that's it? It doesn't bother me when the result happens. Or it does bother me when the result happens. I do care when the result happens. And Bishul is not the same as a rea. A person puts a pot of food under the fire an hour before Shabbos is over. It doesn't cook for another 2 hours. So by the time it reaches, reaches the point, the third, half, whatever the cutoff point quantitatively the cooking is, it reaches that point, the shear of Bishul, after Shabbos is over. I make with some delicious food for my beloved Malka. So I did the mice of Bishul on Shabbos, but I guess like to borrow a term from Dini Mamanis, I did the mice and now the chalos isn't until later. So the result of the malacha, the effect of the malacha is not felt until later, and that's when you have the Shabbos. So if you hold that, that's, you know, I'm chayav on Shabbos for my maisa. I did a maisa, that's it, I'm chayav. It doesn't matter what happens later. It will be chayav. If you hold that, no. If you hold that Zoreya is the quirk, Zoreya is the exception to the rule, so you cannot extrapolate from Zoreya to other malachas. So that's a big, big machlokes acharonim. So that shayla is now relevant in terms of our kosei shayla. Because if the Mordechai is right, that Kosev really isn't violated until, isn't completed until the ink is dry. So Nuchas get, if you give a wet get, you're giving somebody, it's not Kosev, it's not Kosev, it's like raw meat. It's like a non-rooted seed. It hasn't really happened yet. And therefore, Kosev is one of those malachas that's also time delay. If that's true, those who deny the Mordechai said, we're talking to what I wrote, ink on the paper, so the receive is over, everything's done. It's a kosher get the way it is, it's wet, who cares? But if you accept the Mordechai, that Kosev is one of those models of malachas, it's a time delay, so then the Bechas Chinuch is able to raise this question. What's it do? The guy writes an hour before Shabbos is over, takes it down here for the ink to dry, maybe it's going to be potter. If you hold that, it's not true. Time delays are not potrim. They're not poltrim in Zoreya, they're not poltrim in Bishul, they're not poltrim in Ksiva. But if you hold, like those acharonim, that, like Chassidim himself happens to hold, that a time delay may be a polter, it's a quirk by Zoreya, but other malachas, a time delay is in fact a polter, that in Hochinami, the same way that if you put up food to cook 2 minutes for Shabbos, you won't be chayev. If you write with wet ink 2 minutes for Shabbos, you also won't be chayev. It's possible, it could be, it'd be a wild chiddush, but it's possible.
Okay, with Kosev, that's different because Kosev, even to the people say that you need to wait till it dries to that group, but it is existing and accomplishes what you want, which is you can eat it. The aspect of Kosev has different than Bishul, than Zoreya, than everything else, because you need the Maisa to complete to succeed in the actual definition of the Maisa. By a wet writing, you actually can read it. There's the Metzius there.
It's true. That distinction is definitely correct. But the question is, does that make a difference? Because if you really believe that the Mordechai is right, that a wet get is not kultiva. At the end of the day, if you would give this get to the woman in the state of wet ink, if the Mordechai claims that this get is potlum in HaTorah, that's not kosev. So it's true that I created a way for somebody to read something, but I didn't do kosev. You call it whatever you want, but it's not malachas kosev. So there's one last nakuda of this sugya, which also, once again, highlights a theme we've been talking about so often the last couple of weeks. That's the Shabbos Gittin relationship.
I would say, Asima Yafet, this is the first time that we ever had the word Yafet. Is there anything?
Yeah, I think it's just.
Never ever discussed.
Right. I don't think it means like you offer the sense of looking pretty. I think it means that efficiently. I think it means like it was done proper. Like don't give it when it's just almost dry. Like make sure it's complete. Nothing that means almost like completed. Make sure it seems. I think so. I think that's all the Shulchan Aruch solution was.
Don't we say this the other way around? That it's cooking before Shabbos, you do a malacha.
Right, so everybody agrees, even those who say that result is important in terms of time in the malacha, it's not the result alone is important, because you need ma'aseh. Everyone agrees that if you do a malacha Friday afternoon and the malacha results on Shabbos, that's not necessarily right. So, the Shabbos, it's Kalim, ma'aseh, that's another thing, but in terms of the ma'aseh malacha, everybody agrees that's not called. Nobody in the world says, if I take raw food and put it under the fire before Shabbos, and it cooks it to Shabbos, I'm chayim shum bishul. I didn't say that's mutar also for other derabbanan reasons, but that's for sure not considered bishul. So there's one last nakuda that also highlights again some of the nuances of similarities and differences between Kosev and Shabbos and Kosev in Gittin. And that is a comment of one of the Rishonim in the Sefer Yerayim. I didn't put it in the Mem Kof, it's very hard to find things in the Sefer Yerayim. So we'll just say it a little bit, Tosh about that. The Sefer Yerayim was the Belezer Mitzvah, one of the Tamidim of Rabbeinu Tam. So the Sefer Yerayim, when he discusses Hilchos Shabbos, he discusses, quotes that Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if you write in black ink, you're chayav, and you write in red ink, you're chayav, write in purple ink, green, whatever color ink you write in, you're going to be chayav, as long as it's shalkei gamah. Says the Sefer Yerayim, the fact that you're chayav in other colored ink, it's not so posher. It's true, but it's not posher. It's not posher for the following. He says the Sefer Yerayim, we know in the Hilchos Shabbos, there are always two categories. There are the avos and there are the toldos. The others is the primary description of the melacha. This is the way it's done. This was the way it was done. The mishkan. This is the chashuv way of doing things. X. When you do something a little bit of a different way, you're accomplishing the same goal. It's basically the same thing, but basically, but not entirely. That already starts to enter into the category of a tolda. So now in Hilchos Shabbos, for real purposes of the maisa for us, is almost zero. What's the difference whether you violated Shabbos by doing an av, you violated Shabbos by doing a tolda? Yechayev skiv, yechayev kors, yechayev chad. It's a nisim derais. And b'lishum sofek, the Gemara says it told us the kavus and uchus Shabbos. So it says the same thing. But if you want to know academically, you want to know theoretically, you want to know when you're doing an act of kosev, is there an av and there is a tolda? Says the same thing. Yes, the av malach of kosev is writing with black ink. That's real kosev. That's the and he kosev al sefer b'dio. If you look up in the encyclopedia to define the act of writing in the halachic universe, black ink. It happens to be true. The Mishnah says, by the way, if you write in green and purple and red, you're also chayav, but the emphasis of the word also. You're also chayav but Torah's Tolda, because at the end of the day, you're accomplishing the same goal. You're doing the basic same thing, albeit, you know, slightly nuanced different. So it's important to highlight that says the Sefer Yerayim, you have to know what's an av, what's a tolda. Does it make any real difference for us in the Shabbos? 99% of the time, not. Every once in a blue moon, you'll dig up enough communal din in the Shabbos, but for the most part, it's not going to be relevant. But that's the a seemingly academic distinction that the Sefer Yerayim is. But this seemingly academic distinction now becomes critical for us for the following reason. This model that we have in halacha, Avosin told us, that we have certain definitions of actions in halacha. There are primary definitions. This is what the word kosev means. So this is what the word bishul means. This is what the word zorea, what the word kosev. This is the definition. And by the way, there are other actions that are similar enough to also slap you in the chiyuv. That model of avos and toldos for sure exists in Shabbos. Mishnayos, Gemaros, not in the question. But it is less clear whether that dual model exists in Kol HaTorah Kula. There are other areas of halacha where the Torah gives us certain things we're not allowed to do and uses a certain definition. So I can't do what it says in the Torah. Can I do something that's similar? Can I extrapolate? Does the concept of told us apply to others? But do I have to look and say, Chumash uses word X? That's the meaning of the word. That's it. Lahavdul, Elf Abdullahs. There were two Mahalchim when you read the Constitution. So there are those who read it, and what they call the literalists and the loose interpretations. I think Thomas Jefferson and others back in the early 1800s said, state of the Constitution is on. So what does it mean? So do I say, this is what the word says, this is what the word means. But do I say no? That there's a certain loose meaning of something. That if it says this, it's an idea that these words are trying to portray. That, so if this idea is fulfilled in a slightly different, nuanced way, that's also nichlal in the kavan of the founding fathers. So when it comes to Shabbos, so Moshe Rabbeinu comes out from our scene with the following list: Chorez, Areya, Koytzim, Amir, Dosh, 39 things. So here the halacha says very, very clearly: I do not take that attitude of, well, if it's not absolutely called choresh, it's not chayav. So the Moshavir says, let's say I dig a hole in the backyard. I dig a hole. Is that plowing? Would you look up the definition of the dictionary? It says I plowed. No, plowing means I take a plow. I wouldn't know how to do that, but you take a plow and you plow and prepare for the planting. This is plowing. I take a shovel and I dig a hole to use something in the hole. That's not plowing. On the other hand, it did the same thing. I moved around the dirt. I'm improving the quality of the backyard. I'm doing things that are very, very similar. So it has all the characteristics of plowing without being called plowing. It doesn't have the chalas shame of plowing. So that's where it's told. That's where Parshas Toldos kicks in. So does that model of Avos and Toldos unique to Shabbos? Or does that spill over to other areas of Halacha as well? So l'chora, the Sefer Yerayim is taking a stand on that question. Why? Because the Sefer Yerayim is telling us to be chiddush. Before he said it, I didn't think it was necessarily true. You want to know what the Torah definition of the word kosev means? But he kosev ala sefer b'dio. The post says, dio, black ink. That's what, look around you and see what's written in black ink. Someone's not even read that. Most things in the world are black. What does it say? You fill out the form, black or blue. Blue is already an American concept. Black, everything black ink. You write with green ink. That's not the regular kosev. You write in purple. That's not regular kosev. So, Yechaim and Shabbos. Can't argue with you because it's close enough for comfort, too close for comfort. It's called the Tolda, says the Sefer Yerayim. Wait a second, I want to leave the realm of the Shabbos for a second. In Maseches Gittin, our Mishnah says, you write again in red ink, that's a get. You write again in red, green, purple, blue ink, that's called a get. I don't understand. If you're telling me that the Ikar Shem Kesef is only black ink, it's got to be much black ink, everything else is a Tolda. So I understand why you're chayvin of a Shabbos. Why is the get good? Doesn't the Torah say the chos of loss of a priestess? What's the answer? It must be that the Sefer Yerayim is assuming that told us a ke'avos, not only in the Shabbos, that model of extension of loose interpretations of certain words in the Chumash are lending themselves to other areas of Halacha as well. And it comes out that when the Torah says the chos of loss of a priestess, although the definition of Shiva means black ink, Ilchus Toldos kicks in and tells me it's green ink. That's also good. It's close up. That's the lack of Digna Hold. If Digna Hold can be Chayv Mishim Chorech, then writing a get in green ink can be a get just as writing a black ink.
That's a little wet on Shabbos.
Let's
extend. Why would the logic extend to something that's wet?
Wet is a different story. Wet is because Eder Shokoyam, but we're not saying wet is not. Potentially kosev, it's just it's a kosev shel shokayama. I don't want to be chayv in Shabbos. That's the shokayama. So comes as if your Rebbe says, if you're writing green ink, you're chayv in Shabbos, and if you're writing get in green ink, the get is good. So if the Sefer Yerayim's premise is right that green ink is only a tolda, not an av, so then the Mishnah, our Mishnah, is taking a stand on this issue that toldos are included in all areas of Halacha, not just in the Shabbos. Is that true? Do we have any way of testing that? Do we have any other indications other than shown him what the answer to that question is? So you have to go through 39 different halachas and try to see. Do those concepts and obviously those are spilled to other areas of halacha? So one of the lamatest halachas tucked away is halachas gozes. Gozes is shearing wool. So I know what shearing wool is. You go over to your sheep and you take your shearing scissors and you shear the wool. That's gozes. That's the word gozes. What about other ways of removing wool for the animal? It's not quite bederach, but that's like gozes proper. I pluck the wool off. Other ways of getting the wool off. Would those kinds of actions also be called gozes? The Gemara in the third paragraph says, the Chora seems to say yes. That if you're involved in other kinds of actions, even though you would look at it and say, this is not gozes, but it's the same thing. It's the same goal. It's the same basic action. You're using something to get the wool off the animal. Yeah, that's close enough. Close enough for comfort. For Shabbos, we'll say a chayef because that's called a tolda of gozes. So Tosus on the spot of the third Bechmas of the Choros discussed the following. That's true when it comes to gozes for Shabbos. But there are other areas of halacha where gozes is important. Actually, probably one. The other area of halacha is the Torah says, lo sabo b'vchor sharecha, lo sagoz. So, you're not allowed to work with your b'chorot, the firstborn animals. You're not allowed to shear the wool, b'chorot zonecha. So what would it then be if a person, quote unquote, violates this iser, but doesn't use the shearing scissors, doesn't do it there, because it doesn't, in a way that at worst, the Ruch HaShabbos would have qualified as a tolda. Is he over this or not? So comes to us and raises this fundamental question. A toldos k'avos only in Shabbos, or a toldos k'avos in Kol Tarkula. So the Balei HaToisus and Masechet Bechorah say they think that toldos are not k'avos unless you're in the realm of Shabbos. There's no such pasha, no such chiddush Torah called toldos k'avos outside the realm of Shabbos. If that's the case, then the Tosfos and Masechet Bechorah is at odds with the Sefer Yerayim. Because the Sefer Yerayim, by identifying green, other colored inks as being a tolda, knowing full well that it's an acceptable way of writing it, yet, Tosus can never say that. Tosus would say the book stops here. The only thing that's called an ab is black ink, and other inks would not be good for Gittin. But they are good for Gittin. The Mishnah says it's good for Gittin. must be right. They say the rain is not right. Must be right, according to the Tosafot Bechoros, that greening is an av. It's not a tall green. It's the same. What's the difference? Green, purple, blue. It's all the same thing. It's an av, and therefore it exists even if it's different. So we have a last akud of our sugya. Touch on this, hopefully, if they show up tomorrow, we'll try to put the final touches on this part of the sugya, then hopefully by tomorrow we'll be able to actually get into the next episode.
Oh shit. Right. I have something else.